Transform your home in one weekend with paint from Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boys Forever Interior Paint and Primer in One offers powerhouse protection with its stain-blocking, odor-reducing technology. And with Dutch Boys Easy Opening Smooth Pouring Container, transforming your home has never been easier. View our entire selection of Dutch Boy paint on Menards.com. Plus the weekly flyer and other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everybody. Antonio T. Smith Jr. here, and it has come to my attention that you all like quantum resonance. So I want to give you a brief explanation real quick. It is the year 2024, and Dr. Malik, who has doctorates in many fields, five to be exact, he has invented quantum time travel with quantum internet, quantum computing, and a few other things. His best friend for a very long time, Admiral JT, is with him, and he has, JT keeps the Echo. Now, Malik can talk to the Echo, hoping that it hears him since they're always watching, but that's a shot in the dark and is always not answerable. Nevertheless, we're in the year 2024. Dr. Malik was born in 1981, the year July, the month July, and the day 20th. So July 20th, 1981. So he's 43 years old. He can only time travel using string theory in the time of his own life. So he bounces between life after life after life inside his own 43 years. So every story that happens in quantum resonance is a true story, or at least based on a true story, a true real world event from 1981 to 2024. And every single story has something to do with something that is real, tangible. And Malik, Dr. Malik, finds himself leaping. Now the question is, what's controlling his leaps? Is he controlling his leaps? He's not supposed to, correct, but does he listen to that? Is he listening to that? Who knows? But there is something major happening here. 97 seasons, 97 different stories, over 2,000 episodes. Let's see what happens from here. That's your explanation.
In the year 2024, Dr. Malik Evans, a visionary quantum physicist, embarked on a groundbreaking journey. Driven by his quest to understand the deeper connections between consciousness, time, and the universe, Malik activated his experimental quantum resonance chamber. But this wasn't just a leap through time, it was a leap into the fabric of reality itself. Now, Malik finds himself navigating across timelines, inhabiting the lives of others at pivotal moments in history. Guided only by his lifelong friend, Admiral Julius J.T. Thompson, and the Echo, a mystical quantum device, Malik must uncover the hidden perfection in every situation. Trapped in these lives, Malik confronts challenges that test not just his mind, but his very soul. With each leap, he's driven by the need to reveal the inherent order in chaos, to understand the interconnectedness of all things. And though his journey is one of acceptance and spiritual alignment, Malik often finds himself compelled to intervene, knowing that every action could ripple through time. But Malik's ultimate hope? That each leap brings him closer to a greater understanding, and perhaps, one day, the leap that will unlock the true nature of perfection. Welcome to Quantum Resonance, a journey like no other, where time, consciousness, and the universe resonate in perfect harmony.
Malik leaned back in Davy's chair, the weight of JT's warning heavy on his shoulders. "Guide, don't change," JT had said, as if Malik could turn a blind eye to the grim fate awaiting Davy, his own fate now, as long as he remained in this body. But knowing Davy would die in prison, leaving his wife Becky and their child destitute, gnawed at Malik's core. He couldn't just sit back and let it happen. The dim light of the office cast long shadows as Malik opened the folder in front of him. Alan Grant's name stamped across the top. Inside, he found the heart of the company's plans to exploit the Reagan-era IRTA tax cuts, masking large-scale layoffs that would ruin the lives of Davy's colleagues. More than that, it would ensure that Alan Grant's corporation kept raking in profits while the workers were discarded like trash. Malik felt his pulse quicken. His fingers traced the bold, predatory lines of the document detailing the layoffs, the cold, calculated decisions that would end careers, destroy families. This was more than just a corporate strategy. It was a death sentence for people like Davy, people like him. "Don't change the future," Malik muttered, echoing JT's words through clenched teeth. The echo, shimmering slightly in the corner of his vision, resonated with a low, ominous hum, almost like it could feel his rising frustration. Malik ignored it. He had no choice. How could he just guide when every part of him screamed for action? For intervention? Malik stood, closing the folder. He needed a plan, a way to stop this without tipping the scales too far. But first, he had to keep up the facade. Sarah and Tom were watching him closely now, suspicion lurking behind their every word. He'd seen it in Sarah's eyes earlier, the way she questioned his loyalty. Tom was worse. His military background made him sharper, more observant, always two steps ahead in the art of deception. But Malik had to act like he didn't know the betrayal coming for him. "Davy?" Sarah's voice cut through his thoughts. She stood at the door of the office, her arms crossed, brow furrowed. "What are you doing in here?" He gave her a smile, trying to keep the nervous energy from leaking through. "Just going through some reports. What's up?" Sarah stepped closer, her eyes narrowing. "We've got to be careful, Davy. You're pushing back too hard against the plan. People are starting to notice." I don't want to see people get hurt," Malik said, carefully choosing his words. He could feel the tension tightening around them, the suspicion thick in the air. Sarah was smart, too smart for her own good, and right now she was beginning to realize that something was off with him. "We need to make sure this doesn't blow up in our faces." "Or in yours," Sarah shot back. "You've been acting different lately. What aren't you telling me?" Malik held her gaze, calculating. He couldn't risk her growing too suspicious. He needed her to trust him, at least for now. "I'm just trying to protect my family, Sarah, Becky, and the kid. This isn't easy for me." Sarah's face softened at the mention of Davy's family, and for a moment her guard slipped. "I get that, but if we don't expose Alan Grant and the IRTA scheme, we're all screwed." Malik nodded, pretending to agree. But exposing Alan Grant wasn't the goal anymore. Survival was. He had to make sure Davy didn't end up in prison, and he had to keep Sarah from finding out what he knew, that her betrayal, along with Tom's, was already in motion. Suddenly, a strange vibration filled the room. Malik glanced at the space where the echo usually shimmered faintly, but this time it was brighter, humming louder than before. And then JT appeared beside it, flickering into existence like static on an old TV. "Malik," JT said, his voice urgent. "I don't have much time." "What do you mean?" Malik stepped toward him, glancing back at Sarah, who hadn't noticed JT's sudden appearance. She stood oblivious, lost in her thoughts. "I'm being pulled back," JT explained, his form shimmering with an unstable light. "Something's happening in 2024. I can't stay with you." "What? No." Malik felt panic grip him. "I need you here. You can't leave me in this mess alone. The echo began to pulse erratically in JT's hand, glowing with a light that reflected in Malik's eyes. JT looked at him, his gaze fierce but filled with regret. I have to go, but listen, whatever you do, don't change things too much. You can't control what happens if you go too far. And with that, JT began to dissolve, his figure melting away as the quantum light consumed him. The echo shimmered one final time before disappearing entirely, leaving Malik alone in the room with Sarah, the tension between them heavy and unspoken. Malik stared at the empty space where JT had been, his mind racing. He was alone now. No more guidance, no more warnings, just him, standing on the edge of a choice that could change everything. And for once, he was going to make the decision his way. Malik sat up straighter, every nerve on edge. Sarah's suspicions were still thick in the air, her words buzzing in his mind like static. But it was more than her. Something else was wrong. Someone was wrong. He felt it before he saw him. Paul Mitchell. Malik blinked. Paul, a figure from Davy's life that he hadn't even thought about, stood at the far side of the office, his back turned as he conversed with Alan Grant's secretary. Paul was Davy's old friend, someone Davy trusted. So why did Malik feel the sharp sting of anger boiling in his gut the moment he laid eyes on him? It wasn't his anger, it was Davy's. Malik drew a slow breath, calming himself, but the feeling lingered like a warning siren blaring just beneath the surface. Paul wasn't supposed to be here. He wasn't supposed to be involved. So why the hell was he? Paul turned, his eyes locking with Malik's for a split second. The smile that spread across his face was wrong, too warm, too genuine. And that's when it hit Malik like a sucker punch. Davy's instinct, the deep betrayal bubbling beneath Malik's skin. Paul had already crossed the line, but Malik didn't know how or why. Davy, Paul's voice was cheerful, but something in it felt hollow, like a mask. Good to see you, man. Didn't know you were in today. Malik forced himself to stand, muscles tense. He played along, but the anger, Davy's anger, was hard to swallow. Yeah, couldn't stay away. You know how it is. Sarah, still standing beside him, studied the interaction carefully, her suspicions like needles in the back of Malik's skull. She wasn't stupid. She could sense the shift in him, the way he now eyed Paul like a predator eyeing prey. Paul's smile faltered slightly. I thought we were all meeting up later to discuss the next steps. Alan's getting restless about the delays. Malik kept his face neutral, but inside, alarms were going off. Delays? Why would Paul know anything about that? He was supposed to be on the outside, sympathetic to Davy's plight, sure, but not involved in the details. Malik played the line he knew would work. Yeah, just came by to finish some things. You know how Sarah likes to keep us on our toes. Sarah's eyes flicked to Malik, wary. Paul let out a low chuckle, but it was tight, restrained. Of course. We wouldn't want to disappoint. Malik felt it again, Davy's gut feeling, churning inside him. There was more here, more than Paul was letting on. He couldn't ignore the gnawing thought that Paul had betrayed him. No, betrayed Davy. Paul, Malik said, voice low. You got a minute? Need to run something by you. Alone. The shift in the air was palpable. Sarah tensed, her eyes darting between them, suspicion growing. Paul hesitated, his mask slipping just enough for Malik to catch it. The flicker of nerves. He knew. He knew Malik was onto him. Sure, Paul said, though his voice was strained. Lead the way. Malik motioned toward a side room, a cramped break space just outside the main office area. As soon as they were alone, he shut the door, locking it. Paul's casual demeanor dropped, his smile gone. All right, Davy, what's this about? Paul asked, his voice lower, darker. Malik took a step closer, his gaze boring into Paul. You're working with Alan, aren't you? The words hung in the air like a live grenade. Paul's eyes widened for a fraction of a second before the mask snapped back into place. I don't know what you're talking about. Cut the crap, Paul, Malik growled, Davy's anger fueling his every word. You've been feeding Alan information about Sarah, the movement, everything. You've sold us out. Paul's jaw clenched, the tension between them electric. And then, without warning, Paul's facade cracked entirely. What choice did I have, Davy? He snapped, stepping closer. You think I wanted this? You think I had any other option? Alan's got his claws in everything. If I didn't give him what he wanted, he would have buried me, and you know it. Malik's mind spun, but he didn't back down. So you threw everyone under the bus? Me, Sarah, all the people who trusted you? Paul's face twisted, a mixture of regret and frustration. You don't get it, Davey. Alan's playing a bigger game than any of us can handle. He's not just cutting jobs. He's positioning himself to wipe out entire industries. And if we don't play along, we'll all be left in the wreckage. The revelation hit Malik like a freight train. Entire industries? The Erda was just the surface. Alan Grant was exploiting it in ways no one could have seen coming. And Paul had helped him do it. Malik's heart pounded in his chest. There was no way out. The door was locked, and the walls were closing in. He couldn't go back to Sarah with this, not without blowing his cover entirely. He couldn't trust Paul, but he couldn't not choose him either. There was only one brutal path forward. "You're gonna fix this?" Malik said, voice steely. "You're gonna get me in that meeting with Alan and Senator Thompson? I don't care how dangerous it is, you're going to help me take him down." Paul's eyes widened in shock. "Davey, that's suicide! If Alan finds out..." "He won't," Malik cut in, eyes narrowing. "Because if he does, you're going down with him." Paul swallowed, his hands clenching into fists at his sides. He knew Malik wasn't bluffing. The trap was set, and now there was no escape. Malik stormed out of the building, Davy's fury coursing through his veins. The anger toward Paul simmered just below the surface, but it was the thoughts of Tom and Sarah that darkened his mind. Davy wanted them dead. Malik could feel it, a burning desire for vengeance. But no matter how angry Davy's emotions made him, Malik wasn't a killer. He couldn't be. The cool air hit his face as he stepped onto the sidewalk, his mind spinning, trying to make sense of everything. There was a payphone across the street, one of those old booths that required change to operate. He dug into his pocket, pulling out coins, 25 cents, the cost of a call in 1981, and shoved them into the slot. The metallic clink echoed in his ears as he dialed Becky's number, his heart thudding. The phone rang once, twice, before she answered. "Hello? Rebecca," Malik said, trying to steady his voice. There was a pause, a long one. He could feel her hesitation through the line. "You never call me that," Becky finally said, her tone sharp. "What's going on, Davey? Is something wrong?" Of course, she'd pick up on it. Malik cursed inwardly. He wasn't Davey, not really. And now she knew something was off. But how much should he tell her? How much could he tell her without unraveling everything? He took a breath, pulling together every ounce of Davey's presence he could muster. It's been rough, Beck. Work's a mess, and I..." His voice faltered. He had to tell her something. Something that might save her and their son. He had to warn her about what was coming, about the storm he knew was about to hit their lives. He had to change their future, even if JT had warned him not to. But the words felt like sandpaper in his throat. Malik knew the risk. He knew what tampering with the past could do. But this wasn't about the world, the Erta, or any grand scheme. It was about protecting this family, Davy's family. "Davey, talk to me, please." Becky's voice broke the silence, softer now, laced with concern. Malik swallowed, his grip on the phone tightening. "Things are going to get bad at the company, Becky. Real bad. There's going to be layoffs, big ones. You and Jacob, you need to be prepared for what's coming." The silence on the other end of the line was deafening. Malik could hear Becky breathing, could feel the weight of her fear growing. "What are you saying, Davey? Are you losing your job?" "I don't know yet," Malik lied, though he knew the truth. Davey was already being set up as the scapegoat for everything. But saying it out loud, that felt too real. "Just if anything happens, you need to take the savings. Take Jacob and get out of the city. Don't wait around for things to fall apart." "Wait, what? What are you talking about?" Becky's voice rose in panic. "Davey, you're scaring me. What aren't you telling me?" Malik closed his eyes, trying to fight back the surge of emotion. He hadn't meant to scare her. He'd only wanted to give her a chance to avoid the homelessness that loomed in their future. But now, he was making it worse. "Listen to me, Rebecca." His voice hardened, urgency laced through every word. "I need you to trust me. If things go wrong, If I can't fix it, you have to leave. Becky's voice cracked. I don't understand. What aren't you telling me? Why are you talking like this? Just trust me, Malik snapped, the intensity of Davy's feelings crashing into his own. Please, Beck, just promise me you'll do it. The line went quiet again, only the faint sound of her shaky breath on the other end. When she spoke again, her voice was barely a whisper. I don't know what's going on with you, Davy, but I'm scared. You're not yourself. You've been distant, and now this. How am I supposed to trust you when I don't even know what's happening? Malik cursed under his breath. This was spiraling out of control. He hadn't meant for it to go this way. He wanted to help, not drive a wedge between them. But it was too late to backpedal. He'd said too much, and now she was unraveling. I'll explain everything when I can, Malik said, trying to soften his tone. Just trust me right now. Keep Jacob safe. There was another long pause, and when Becky finally responded, her voice was steadier, but still fragile. I'll do what I can, Davy, but I need you to come home tonight. We need to talk. Malik nodded, even though she couldn't see it. I'll come home. He hung up the phone, the metallic click echoing in his ears like a judge's gavel. The payphone suddenly felt like a prison. He leaned against the booth, his head spinning. Becky was right to be scared. He wasn't Davy. But in trying to protect her, Malik had made things worse. He'd broken JT's rule, and now he could feel the future shifting in dangerous ways. He could already sense the consequences, like ripples in a pond. The echo hummed softly from the recesses of his mind, and JT's voice followed. Sometimes the darkness hides the light. Malik's chest tightened. He thought this leap was about stopping the IRTA, about fighting corporate greed. But now, he knew, it wasn't about the world. It was about this family, and he was failing them. Tom stood in the dimly lit office, his hand trembling as he lifted the receiver. The buzz of fluorescent lights overhead mixed with the hum of distant conversations from the floor below, but all he could hear was the steady breath on the other end of the line. Alan Grant's voice finally cut through, cold and calculated, without a hint of emotion. Did you do it? Tom swallowed, gripping the receiver tighter. Everything's in place. He won't see it coming. Good, Alan replied, the word dripping with satisfaction. But don't get comfortable. Davy's slippery. I don't care what you've seen or heard. He's up to something. And when it all falls apart, I need him to take the fall. Understand? Tom's throat tightened. Alan wasn't just talking about firing Davy. This was something else. Something darker. Tom had been around long enough to know that when Alan Grant said someone needed to take the fall, they didn't just lose their job. They lost everything. I've got eyes on him, Tom said, keeping his voice steady, though the growing pit in his stomach made it hard. I'll make sure he's neutralized. Alan chuckled softly on the other end of the line, a sound devoid of humor. Neutralized? Don't dress it up with pretty words, Tom. If Davy doesn't go down hard, you will. There's too much riding on this. The IRTA is our ticket to a new era, and I won't let a nobody accountant like Davy Richardson screw it up. Tom felt a chill crawl up his spine. Alan didn't make threats lightly. He was a man who saw people as chess pieces. Tools to be moved, sacrificed, or eliminated. And Tom had just realized he was one of those pieces. Listen closely, Alan's voice dropped, becoming deadly serious. We've set up the perfect trap. Davy will sign off on the layoffs. He'll be the face of it. His name is all over the paperwork, the memos, everything. When the workers revolt, when the press comes knocking, he'll be the one they blame. Tom's mind raced. Alan was covering his tracks, lining up Davy to take the heat for the brutal corporate culling that was about to happen. Hundreds would lose their jobs, people like Davy's closest friends, and no one would see the real puppet master behind the scenes. It would be Davy who'd take the fall, and it would ruin him. Alan continued, his tone as icy as ever. If anything, and I mean anything, goes wrong, I expect you to take care of it. Clean up. No loose ends, Tom. I'm trusting you with this. Tom's mouth went dry. He knew exactly what Alan meant by cleanup. This wasn't just about smearing Davy's reputation. If push came to shove, Alan was ordering him to dispose of Davey permanently. He wasn't just scapegoating him for the company's dirty work. He was setting him up for complete destruction, and if Tom didn't comply, he'd be next. "I understand," Tom said, though his voice faltered slightly. "Do you?" Alan pressed, his voice sharper now, cutting through any remaining ambiguity. "I don't think you do, Tom. This isn't just about business. This is survival. Either Davey goes down or you do, and if you even think about backing out, if I get the sense that your conscience is getting in the way, you'll wish you never picked up this phone." Tom's pulse quickened. He knew Alan had connections, people who could make him disappear just as easily as they would Davey. He was trapped, just like Davey was about to be. "I won't let you down," Tom managed, though the words felt like poison on his tongue. There was a long pause on the other end of the line, and Tom wondered if Alan was weighing his usefulness, deciding whether or not he was still an asset. "Good," Alan finally said, his voice smooth again. "Make sure Davey doesn't figure this out until it's too late. And remember, Tom, no loose ends." The line went dead, and Tom stood there, frozen, the weight of Alan's words pressing down on him like a vice. He knew what he had to do. He had to follow Alan's orders. But deep down, he also knew that if he did, there was no coming back from this. He wasn't just betraying Davey, he was betraying himself. He glanced out the window of the office building. The city below looked peaceful, almost serene in the early evening light, but Tom knew that wasn't the reality. The ERTA was about to rip through the lives of hundreds of workers like a tornado, leaving devastation in its wake. And Alan Grant would be safe, untouched by the fallout, because Davey would be the one left holding the smoking gun. Tom's stomach churned. He could still pull out, still warn Davey. But the thought of what Alan would do if he disobeyed kept him in place. Alan wasn't just a ruthless corporate executive. He was a killer. He'd done it before, silencing those who threatened his rise to power, and Tom had no doubt he'd do it again. Alan wasn't paranoid. He was a man who left no loose ends. And Tom had just become another cog in the machine, part of a brutal plan that would leave blood on his hands.
Stay tuned for the next episode of Quantum Resonance. Episode 6, The Cost of Truth. Malik's desperation drags him into dangerous territory, risking everything to uncover the truth behind Alan Grant and Senator Thompson's sinister plans. With JT reluctantly guiding him and the Echo delivering cryptic warnings, Malik is thrust into a high-stakes game of cat and mouse where every move could unravel the timeline he's sworn to protect. Will Malik's bold plan expose the conspiracy, or will it lead to catastrophic consequences that threaten not only Davey's family but the future itself? Prepare for intense action, heart-stopping moments, and a shocking discovery that will leave you questioning everything. You won't want to miss a second of The Cost of Truth. Unlock the world of Quantum Resonance with more than 2,000 episodes of suspense, mystery, and spiritual awakening in the exclusive content section of this podcast. Quantum Resonance isn't just a podcast, it's an immersive experience that will take you on a journey through time, consciousness, and the hidden perfection within every moment. With over 97 thrilling seasons, this exclusive audio series reimagines the beloved concepts of Quantum Leap, blending them with the transformative teachings of Antonio T. Smith Jr. Step into the world of Dr. Malik Evans, a visionary quantum physicist who embarks on a mission like no other. Each leap transports Malik into the lives of individuals at pivotal moments in history where he must navigate complex webs of corporate conspiracy, political intrigue, and spiritual dilemmas. Guided by the enigmatic Admiral J.T. Thompson and the Echo, a quantum device embodying collective ancestral wisdom, Malik's journey is one of deep understanding and profound self-discovery. But here's the twist: Malik's mission isn't to change the past. Instead, he's driven to uncover the hidden perfection already present in every situation. Can he resist the urge to intervene and instead illuminate the divine order within life's seeming chaos? For a limited time, you can gain exclusive access to all 200-plus episodes of Quantum Resonance, each one packed with suspense, mystery, and spiritual insights that will keep you on the edge of your seat. This is content you won't find anywhere else, and it's available only in our exclusive content section. For just $5.97 per month or $59.70 per year, unlock the full experience of Quantum Resonance along with Antonio T. Smith Jr.'s groundbreaking Law of Attraction, esoteric knowledge, and spiritual mentoring content. Imagine the transformative power of Gaia, but infused with Antonio's unique wisdom and life-changing insights and master storytelling. Listen to all new original stories, TV dramas, and audio shows, but only in the exclusive content section of this podcast. Don't miss out on this unparalleled journey. Subscribe now and dive into the world of Quantum Resonance. Each episode will challenge your perceptions, inspire your spirit, and reveal the interconnectedness of all things. Subscribe today and begin your journey with Antonio's exclusive series. Remember, once it's gone forever. Don't wait, your next leap awaits. Unlock exclusive access now.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.